In any event, what do we see here in this pasuk? We see that mitzvah sheker tirchak is sandwiched in between lo tateh mishpat and v'yoncha berivo on the one hand, and shochad lo tikach on the other hand. So you see that it's really addressing the judges and all the various halachot, the specific laws that are derived from this pasuk in the Gemara and Shavuot, are all addressing the judge. The Rambam, in fact, which is on page 2 of your source sheet, the Rambam says, "Minayin l'dayan shelo yaseh melitz l'dvarav shebal din." Supposing the judge thinks that the law favors one of the litigants, but they're still in the process of bringing forth their proofs and their claims, he's not allowed to present the argument or strengthen the argument of one of the litigants, and then the other litigant will be absolutely scared out of his wits because he sees that the judge favors his opponent. Then the Rambam goes on to say, he's not a feed, even implicitly, to one of the litigants, a claim that might be a winning claim. And then the Rambam goes on to say that you're not allowed to give testimony with someone else if you know that someone else is disqualified, even though you trust him, even though he's testifying truthfully, but he's disqualified. And all these cases are brought down in the Rambam under Midvar Sheker Tirchak, clearly once again indicating that the lav in the Torah, the lotas of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, addresses the judge and is to be limited to the context of a court of law. So we don't have, neither in the Gemara nor in the Rambam, any source for the belief, which I think is common, at least I have to admit I always thought so, that Midvar Sheker Tirchak tells me how to live my life. I never stepped into a court in my life. So, do I have Midvar Sheker Tirchak or not? Once again, just to strengthen my point, take a look at the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. This is Mitzvot Lotas HaReish Pei Aleph. She is here has shofet. Again, I emphasize the word shofet as a judge. Shelo lishma divrei echad mi balei adin shelo b'fnei baal dino. The Rambam adds that the judge is not allowed to listen to the claim of one of the litigants when the other litigant, the opponent, is not present. He has to have both present at the same time. And based on this, he quotes the pasuk lo tisa shem hashav, which, if you go back to page 1, is again addressing the judges.
See, this is an
Mitvah Sheker Tirchak is an essay, correct? So I don't find any source in the Rambam, not in Hilchot Sanhedrin or in the Sefer HaMitzvot, that one is enjoined from lying. But can that be? I'll show you where I did find one Rambam where he says that he really encourages you to tell the truth, and that's the Rambam in Hilchot Deot. And if you know the Rambam, Deot is dedicated to the laws of how a person has to lead his life, the halakha b'drachav, to imitate God. So the Rambam tells us, Talmid Chacham, a scholar, lo yehet so'ek, v'tzaveak, v'shad diburo, he shouldn't scream and yell like the animals do, lo yagbia kolo biote, he shouldn't raise his voice level, el diburo, benachat, im kol abriot, he speaks quite quietly. And he says, when he speaks, the Talmid Chacham has to be careful not to speak in a haughty way, ki gasei aruach, he should always be the first one to initiate a shalom aleichem, makdim shalom l'chol adam, and he should always judge every man favorably, speak about his praises, and not, heaven forbid, lashon hara against him, ohev shalom, rodev shalom. In a word, the Talmud Chacham has to be the paradigm of bein adam l'chaveiro, of peace, of behavior that's moral, that's ethical, and so forth and so on. That's all in Perikei Halacha of Zion. And then he goes on on the next page. He says, "V'lo yishaneh diburo." He should never fail to live up to what he speaks. If he says something, then the Talmud Chacham has to live up to his commitment. In the next halacha, he says, "Masa'o umatano shel Talmid Chacham be'emet ube'emuna." The Talmud Chacham has to be very careful about any interactions, especially business interactions. Everything should be based on truth and faith and goodwill. Omer lav lav al hein hein, that which is not, he says not, that which is true, he says true. Midak dek al atzmo b'cheshbon, when he has to pay his bills, he's got to be very particular, very meticulous and careful to pay exactly how much he owes. And when it comes to others who owe him mivater, he should be willing to be flexible and soft and pliable and give in. He should pay up immediately, not borrowing credit, because people suspect him that he's not going to pay. And finally, the Rambam concludes by saying that Ya'amod b'diburov lo yishaneh. He should always live up to his word and never distort and never undermine what he said and his pledges and his truth. So my friends, what conclusion do you come to? Who has to be very careful about the way he speaks? Talmid Chacham. What about you and I? I mean, we're not such great scholars. And we're not judges, so we don't have all those prohibitions, manifold prohibitions the Rambam quotes in Hilchot Sanhedrin and the Sefer HaMitzvot. So I would submit to you something pretty radical at this point. That Midvar Sheker Tirchak has nothing to do with you and I, unless we finally get to the stage that we're appointed as judges in Israel, or we get to the stage where we could be called a Talmid Chacham, which, by the way, the Rambam says in Hilchos Ishus that a Chacham is someone that you can ask him anywhere and he knows the answer. So we'll have to wait a few days till we get to that Madrega. And anything else in the middle about lying and undermining the truth and so forth and so on is all in that amorphous level area of halacha, this gray matter of halacha, mitzvot, which is called midot, derech eretz, not to undermine the significance of midot and derech eretz. You know, we have to follow the right ways, the right paths, and we have to be always careful about our interactions. But to say strictly that it belongs to the Torah law, which is structured in 613 mitzvot, I don't know, unless somebody here is willing to take it upon himself to find the source for that in the Rambam, I didn't find the source. But what I did find is a very, very famous Gemara in Ketubot, which unfortunately the Rambam doesn't have. When I say doesn't have, he probably had the Gemara, but he nowhere codifies it. Which is itself a fascinating question. Ketzad merakdim b'fnei hakala, correct? So this is a tremendous, dramatic machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. We're familiar with Beit Hillel, less familiar with Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai omrim kala kemot shehi. According to Beit Shammai, we should just sing.
Change to no
song. Right, Kala Kamot Shehi. So what is Kala Kamot Shehi? If you skip down a few lines to Rashi, Rashi says, Lefi yofya v'chashivuta mekalsinota. Right, there are two dimensions to the beauty of a woman. One is the physical dimension, and the other is her inner significance, her spirit, her accomplishments, her personality. So we've got to find what is appropriate for this particular kala. She may not fit the bill to be called kala na'a v'chasuda. Rashi says, what's chasuda? Chud shel chesed mashuch aleha. I don't know what the art scroll would say here, but I would translate the word chesed as a grace. There's a certain beautiful grace, a charm that is written all over her face. Good. So, according to Beit Shammai, Kala Kamot Shehi, you gotta dig deep sometimes and find something that she's worthy of, that's absolutely truthful, and sing that song. U Beit Hillel Omrim, Kala Na'a V'chasuda. Amru Lehem Beit Shammai LeBeit Hillel, Haresh Haitach Igeret Osuma. She's really in bad shape, she's lame, she's blind. Omrim La Kala Na'a V'chasuda, could it be? V'atora Omra Midvar Sheker Terchak. Again, we're not talking about a judge in a court. We're not talking about a great scholar. We're talking simply about dancing in front of the kal. And yet, Beit Shammai quotes the pasuk of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Now, would it be that Beit Hillel would turn around and say to Beit Shammai, what does Midvar Sheker Tirchak have to do with this? That pasuk addresses a judge. It has nothing to do with this. We're singing not in a court, but in a wedding hall. But that's not what he says. Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai ledivrechem. Tell me something, Beit Shammai. If I take your principle to its logical conclusion, right? If I apply your rule straight through,
does you think that he messed up over here? You know, he spends a lot of money and he bought an automobile and it's 11. Why'd you get that model or whatever?
But what are you going to say to him? He's already bought it. Again, assuming it's you know, no backs kind of thing. You know what I mean? He can't get his money back. If he can trade it in for a different model, that's one thing. But if it's already, as we say, farfalin, there's nothing to talk about. Is she shabchenu beinav? What should he do? Should he praise it? Oh, you got nenu beinav. Or should he say, oh, what a terrible thing you did. You wasted your money. Heve omer, yishabchenu beinav. In other words, Beit Hillel was asking Beit Shammai a rhetorical question. We don't know, in fact, the Gemara doesn't record what Beit Shammai's response would have been to that question. Beit Hillel didn't give Beit Shammai a chance to answer. They answered themselves. They jumped the boat. Yishabchenu beinav. Certainly you want to tell him, oh, that's a great thing that you bought. Again, of course, it's irretractable. It's already too late. Mikan amru chachamim, and the chachamim, based on this dialogue between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, they coined a principle. La'olam tehei da'ato shel adam me'urevet im habriot. A person should always try to make another person feel happy. He should know what's in his mind, what's in his heart, and try to give him a better feeling. Yeah, the girl has Nebuch has bad eyes, so you're gonna sing in front of her, she has bad eyes? Or maybe you don't say anything about her eyes. Maybe that's a good idea.
It's not that I'm not sure if it's the same. Like a judge knows there's a method checker, it's truths and faults. Here it's from the eyes of her.
Of the beholder?
Of her husband, of her
right.
Family. I don't know. So some people might find it really chasuda, might find it beautiful, even though she right. Cannot see or she cannot walk. But
excellent. Okay, that's what we're going to get to right now. So again, Rashi says the following. He says, "Mikan amru midivrei Beit Hillel shamru yishabchenu tehei adam da'ato shel adam merevet im habriot lasot leish veish kirtzono." Tosfot is interested in Beit Shammai. Kal kamot shehi. What about im yesh ba mu? So Tosfot offers two possibilities for Beit Shammai. Number one, yishtaku, say nothing. You know, don't talk about her lack or absence of beauty or deficiencies. There's no point to that. Just say nothing. Leave it out. Maybe nobody will notice it that you left it out. Inami, another possibility. The way Rashi had interpreted. Let's find some dimension, some feature of this kala that's praiseworthy. Kigon, the Enea, she's got beautiful eyes. Again, I don't know how the song is going to fit in, but Obiadea, she's got very nice hands. Imiafotem. Yeah, but just imagine if you praise the cow because she has nice hands, you know, she's got a nice complexion. What does that imply? I mean, that's all you can come up with, you know. I like the way they put her up, you know, they put nice, what do they call it, nail polish on their heads. You know, they go all the way. Call her a kala nova chasuda. Why? If you're going to pinpoint some aspect of her, of the kala that's praiseworthy, michlal, I would derive this shari that the rest is negative. And therefore, Beit Hillel says yishamchenu beina. The Rashba again trying to interpret Beit Shammai. Says mishabchinota be'evri yafeshaba veloshignuota. No gnai for her, but find something to praise her in, even if she's really got issues. Vafilu hachi, nevertheless, ka'amilu Beit Hillel demaganya hi be'enav. Interesting. Here the Rashba introduces the concept of be'enav. You know, we want to make the chatan happy, and yet, if we do so by praising her in X, Y, and Z and not giving us some sort of general praise that's standard for all kalot, then since other kalot, hashar, the rest of the kalot, b'shamchim, b'chlal, in a general sense, b'zu, b'evr, me'avareh, they found one little detail, it sounds like they don't find her very attractive. The rest of her body is unattractive. Hello, Rim Bechlal, we should say in a general sense, Kala Nova Chasuda. And the Ritva adds, the Chol Shum, if Nedar Keshlom, Embo Mishum, Midvait Sheker Turchak. But you're right. I forgot your first name, sorry.
Charlie.
I think Charlie says very well that even though Beit Hillel are accepting the very premise that there's a problem here that we have to analyze. So mivar sheker tirchak. Maybe beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. We're telling the Chatan. And again, he's already married. Keep in mind, this is a very important point, that, you know, the wedding is going on. You know what I'm saying? We're dancing in front of the Kallah. So it's a little bit late. You know, if you have some comment, some hey-ah-ha about, you know, maybe this is not the girl for you. So he's already married to the girl. And in his eyes, he finds her very attractive, beautiful. I'll tell you a personal story. There was a guy who started going out with a girl, and I frankly wanted to tell him that, you know, he's a good friend of mine. We're still good friends. I'll tell you why we're good friends.
Because
I didn't say anything. Yeah. I'm telling you, had I said one word, I don't know if I'd be able to look the guy in the face. It's a true story. This wasn't a creation. We're talking about truth. It's a true story. Okay. Now, the one who really pinpoints this idea that Charlie said is the Marsha. Again, it's a long Marsha. Maybe we don't have time for it now, but it's number 10 on your page, correct? Towards the bottom of page 3, but not all the way on the bottom. And the Marsha says, in interpreting Beit Hillel, and the whole story about somebody who bought something, and he's very excited about his mekach, and you're going to tell him, oh no, it's awful. Ratzal Omar, he says, the Ein Zeh Sheker. Kevan de Be'einav HaMekach Tov. Hachi Nami, here too, in the case that Beit Hillel was addressing, Kalanova Chasuda Be'einavi. Dim Lokeh Vadai Lo Ayanosah. He wouldn't have married her. So in his eyes, she is beautiful. She's attractive. See, I would ask the following question. You know, in Lomdish, in the jargon of the Shivot, there's something called Hutra and Dechuya. You know, sometimes you violate Shabbos for a greater goal, but you really violated the Shabbos. So sometimes you say, well, you know, in such a circumstance, the Torah never imposed the prohibition to begin with. So what's going on in Beit Hillel? Is Beit Hillel fundamentally on the side of Beit Shammai that by saying Kalanova Chasuda, she's anything but, you're really violating Sheker? In truth, it is Sheker, because you don't think so, and nobody thinks so. Maybe the Chassan thinks so. Or, according to Beit Hillel, it's not Sheker at all. When I sing Kalanova Chasuda, knowing full well that she's not too beautiful, am I lying, but lying for a greater good? Is it Mishanim Ibn Hashalom of that sort? Or is it not a lie at all?
What are we talking about? Singing a song, or telling her in a curse?
Or telling him, you know. I'm not sure if in those days, you know, they necessarily sung it, but while they were mesaveach the chasson, they had to talk to him. You know, there's a Rashi in Masechet Brachot, which is not even on the page, that the ikar, the main mitzvah of Simchas Chasson V'Kal is to talk to the chasson and tell him how he lucked out. You know, talk to the Kal about how she lucked out. This is a great guy. One of my students, who's now here in Toronto, just got engaged the other night, and he's coming to the shiur on 8, you know, at 8:30 tonight in Ritz Shem Clinton Park. So I can't wait to tell him that I want to speak to the Colin, tell her how she looked out. You know, she really got a great guy. So I think it depends. There are two ways of really understanding Beit Hillel. If we're going to say that Beit Hillel is trying to, you know, make a guy feel good, like the mashal of somebody who bought something, you know, he bought himself a new car and he's excited, he's feeling groovy, as Simon and Garfunkel would say, right? And he's on walking on air, and you want to give him a good feeling, that's already, you know, lying for a greater good. In the case, though, of the Marsha, I mean, in light of the Marsha, which is Charlie's idea, that she is beautiful in his eyes, then it's not Sheker at all. Beit Hillel is not saying lie for a greater good, but it's not a lie at all. So one of the questions we asked before is about Shiduchim. You know, very often, I'm sure you've all had the experience that somebody calls upon you to say a word about somebody else. You know, it's an Indian of a Shiduch. It's a very, you know, you're treading here on very sensitive territory because on the one hand, you don't want to ruin the shidduch or the possible shidduch, but on the other hand, you know, they're asking you, and if you know information, you want to give it to them. So I really think that the whole sugya of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is irrelevant because they're talking about the marriage was already, and the whole context of Beit Hillel is, you know, kata mekach, he already purchased, the deal is signed and sealed, is yishachenu beino v'yigemenu beino. It's already a done deal. In Shidduchim, though, I think you have to be honest. But I'm just thinking out loud, and I'm sure you've thought about these questions. There's certain information that, according to your judgment at least, and maybe you should go to a higher judge for this, but is totally irrelevant. What do I say irrelevant? It's not irrelevant in the sense that the people are going to take it very, very seriously. And it really doesn't give this person a chance, a shot at getting started. You know, somebody may come over to you, again, and I'm not being judgmental here, everyone has to think about this very deeply, and they want to know about this boy or this girl's uncle and great-grandfather, and, you know, so you happen to know information that nobody in the world knows, that, you know, her great-grandfather was once in jail for a year or something, you know what I'm saying? And who knows, it might just spoil the shit up. So do you have to tell everything? You have to have verbal diarrhea, upon the expression, just pour it all out. But on the other hand, if you know something about the young man's health or the young woman's health, and it could be really relevant, and they don't know about it, you know, that might be something to think about. If it's in the gray area, when you say health, I mean, health is a very complicated issue. I mean, it spans the whole gamut. You know, you can talk about something that's really basic, but it just is internal, and they don't know about it. It's very important. Of course, now they have the testing. You know, we call it Dorishar. You have Dorishar here? It's called Dorishar. And I know where I come from, in Harnov, no boy will meet a girl without going through Dorishar. It's a matter of standard procedure. But beyond that, there are, unfortunately, many, many diseases that are possible. Now, but if, on the other hand, you know, it's something that he or she suffered from in the past, but, you know, you really have reason to believe that it's under control. And you really feel, I think, justifiably so, that let's give this thing a shot, you know, give it a try. Meaning that maybe you as a parent, if you could put yourself in their shoes, you know, those who are asking you about, you know, for a recommendation, you as a parent wouldn't even really want to know that information, you know, until you found out whether there's something to talk about. Let's see if he and she have any chemistry going on between them. But maybe at some point, you know, if the dating is about to take a serious turn, you know, I don't know when that is, you know, in yeshivish dating, you know, they have today the kids, and it doesn't matter how long you pay us off, but I'm finding that more and more of these kids, when they find the right girl, you know, like, they kind of know it, like, really early in the thing. I don't think it was that way, at least in my dating, it wasn't that way. It took me months, you know what I'm saying? But today, I don't know, they go real fast. My son came back after the sixth date, you know, and he told me, that's it, Dad, you know, I'm ready to pop the question. I said, wait a minute, six dates? I mean, like, you know the girl for like a month and a half? So my wife is also getting very, very nervous about it. I all of a sudden I had like a thought from heaven. I don't know where I was zochet to, it popped into my head. I said to my son, if, let's say, tomorrow I get a call about a girl and they're interested in meeting you, you know, her parents or whoever it is, and she's a zeitz and a zelch. She's got every single thing you want. Yeah, she's rich and she's beautiful and she's lovely and she has great personality, the whole bit. Would you like to entertain that? He says, I'm not interested. I couldn't care less. He says. At that point, I said, all right. You know, I said, for my wife's benefit, all right, wait another 2-3 days, but this is geklipt and gebundet. This is signed and sealed. You know what I mean? I did find one rishon, though, that takes Litvar Sheker Tirchak out of the box, what I call it, meaning out of the limitations, the confines of Bezdin, of the courts, of the judges, and the Midos of the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Chacham, and that's the Urayim. Just a word about the Urayim. The Urayim was written by Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, one of the Balei HaTosfot. And this great leader of Jewry wrote and compiled his own Sefer HaMitzvot. I think it's underrated. I would like to, you know, push it along because I think it's a great piece. He says like this.
In what time did you
do? At the Balei HaTosfot, I would say about 1,000 years ago. He's quoted all over in Tosfos, I mean, very often. But his books, the Urayim, is a little bit under, like I say, it's not high profile. He says, again, I don't know if we have time to go through the entire paragraph, but I want to get to the punchline at the end of the paragraph. But Zivoi Yotzreinu b'parashat ve'ilu mishpatim idvar sheket erchak. Chayav l'dahek. He's got to go even further. Aval sheker shiuchal libei chavero. That might, again, there's a word missing in the text here, but I checked in a few, I didn't find it. But it means, yuchal libei, it could come to hezek, some sort of loss or damage to his friend. Vitzarich latet lev, and in every situation you have to pay very careful attention, b'zanyan, and judge the circumstances, yuchal lavo shikro libei hezek. Would it be possible that your lying might cause some sort of damage? And then he goes through the whole Gemara and Shmuel. But look what he says later on. And I underlined. I said, "Avol shekesh eino bali deira'a." Let's say nobody will lose by it. Nobody will be damaged by it. It's just a question of the way you formulate. These are like people like to tell stories and so forth. Lo hisira Torah Allah. This is not included under the prohibition. So again, according to the Urim, the definition of sheker is any distortion of the truth which could lead, which could cause some sort of a damage to some other human being. It really belongs to Ben Adam L'Chavero. But is he limiting himself to the cause? Take a look at the next paragraph. He says, V'hadetanya b'ktubot ketam aragnat ze'akala. This is the first time, and to my mind, to my knowledge, the only time, that one of the Rishonim, of the early authorities that created a Sefer HaMitzvot, that authored a book of Mitzvot, quotes in Sheker this Gemara in Ketubah, which is the most famous Gemara that we all know of. And yet it's omitted from all the sources. The Rambam doesn't have it, but the Sefer HaYireim has it. And he says, in explaining Beit Shammai, that if she's got these physical problems and blemishes, Heich Yomar, how can he possibly declare Kalanova Chasuda? Fatora Omri Dar Sheket Tirchak. Hahi Yeshbo Ra'alibriot Kidivrei Beit Shammai. Shinir Ekigo Nev Data Baal. It's not a healthy thing to mislead the husband into thinking that this girl is beautiful, according to Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel is saying on the contrary, make him feel good about his wife, about his marriage. And therefore, it won't cause a nezek. But I think what you see from the Sefer HaYireim is that the whole dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is over one point. Is this a sheker by saying Kalanova Chasud and she's anything but? Is that a lie which could somehow lead to a nezek, a ra'ah, some sort of, what word can I use for ra'ah? Something bad will come out of it, right? If you have a better word, help me out here. But some sort of negative consequences as a result of the fact that you're saying kalanah b'chasudah, which is anything but.
Can we not say that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have more fundamental machloket? That Beit Shammai really holds that Midrash Shefet Richak does not mean only judges? Because based on the question he asked, Midrash Shefet Richak, he also goes to the regular person, right?
Correct. And the only one I saw who picked up on this is the Sefer HaYireim, meaning this Gemara in Ketubot, which seems to be addressing the most fundamental issue of Sheker, just Yargat L'Timahon, it somehow got lost in oblivion. Where is it? But I'm saying, Beit Hillel is a very important source. He doesn't seem to fundamentally disagree with Beit Shammai. There is a Sheker problem. He has an answer to the sheker problem. But if you ask me fundamentally, does he agree that there's sheker outside of the courts? The answer is yes. Why is it that I worked so hard and I couldn't find, not in the Rishonim, not in the Poskim, nobody quotes this Gemara in Ketubot, which seems to be up front to take me to our sheker tirchak out of the courtroom and apply to our daily life. But at least I found the Urim. And the Urim, not only does he quote this Gemara in his definition of the mitzvah Midrash Sheker Tircha, he even tries to understand why Beit Shammai feels that this is Sheker. According to the Reb Lezer Mimetz, the definition of Sheker is any lack of truth that could cause you some sort of negative consequence. Well, what about Kalanova Chasuda? That's not negative. So he goes out of his way to say that according to Beit Shammai, Yesh badavar ra'al briot shenedek goneiv dak habal. It's like he's misleading the husband. Now, I would ask the following question: why is that so terrible? I mean, you know, guy's married. You want to tell him, you know, you have to find the right way of saying it. It's got to be modest, but you want to tell him, wow, you got a nice chick. You know, she's a beautiful girl. So what's so terrible about that? You know what I mean? And we find the Chazal, the phrase of Kedei Lechav Val Bala, for example, remember the Malachim coming to Avram, they say, where's Sarah? They knew where Sarah was, but they wanted to endear her on her husband. And you see this throughout Chazal. You know, you take the case of Yosef, you know, that that after Rachel had had Yosef, she said, because you know now if the house is not tidy, then Yaakov won't come home and get angry at me. Why not as his wife clean up the house? Because I'll blame it on the kid, a little kid, he messed up the house. But you'll find over and over again the Chazal are trying so hard in so many different ways to cement the relationship. You know, Bayula Basar Chad. So what's so terrible if you say Kalanom Chasuda? And I'm convinced that was Beit Hillel's opinion. Beit Shammai somehow, according to our blessed events, thought that it's not such a good idea that a person walk around thinking something that's not really true. You know, living in a fantasy world and believing that his wife is Miss America or Miss Canada. I don't know what they have here in this country. So, let's put on the table the following. At least according to the Sefer Yerayim, Sheker goes beyond the courts. That's based on Beit Hillel. You're allowed to lie. Well, maybe it's not a lie at all because beauty is in the eyes of the Baal in this case. But certainly for the sake of a greater good. And I'll just keep you for another 5 minutes because I know you want to go to Ma'ariv. But if you take a look at the Gemara above Metzia, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Bahani tlat mili avidi rabbanan demishanumi bimilayu. There are three categories of cases in which even the great scholars who are very careful about truth and the way they speak, they would never consider, I'm sorry, they would consider lying in three cases. In other words, for the sake of three cases, three scenarios, they're allowed to lie. What are they? Mesechet, Puria, Vush Pisa. Says Rashi, Mesechet Yesh. Somebody asks a scholar, Yesh Biyadcha Mesechet Plonis Dura. You know, do you know Mesechet Menachos cold inside out? I don't know if you guys ever learned Menachos, but if you ever learned Kachim, don't start with Menachos because you'll give up in about 5 minutes. That's the most complicated Mesechet. You start with Pesachim or Yuma or maybe Nazir, then go over to Zvachim, but not with Menachos. Anyway, he knows Menachos cold. He's allowed to lie. He's allowed to say, I don't know Menachos. Why? Midat anava, he says Rashi. It's humility. Vipuria, shimashta midatcha. You know, they want to give him an aliyah in those days. You know, if you were carrying, you had relations with your wife, there was issues, and this and that. So they asked him, Yomar lav, he's allowed to lie. Midat sliuti, it's none of your business. Ushpizo, shalu al ushpizo. You know, he was a guest in someone's house, and they asked about the host. Hey, what, does he give you steak at night? Im kiblov a sefer panim yafot. Even though he's treating you like a king, he's allowed to say no. Why? That, you know, everybody's going to jump on this guy and say, wow, that's where, you know, it's like you know, if you give a donation, you give a good donation, and the person who receives the truma, you know, he spreads the word, so then you can, tomorrow you have a line of people knocking on your door.
So they sell it, they this, they that,
they have all sorts of deals amongst themselves. Where I come from in Hardot, they share taxi cabs to get, it's a whole to do. In any event, the bottom line is that these are three cases in which the Gemara goes out of its way to tell you that you're allowed to lie. Either for modesty, or for humility, or to protect someone else's interests, not to tell the truth. But again, you see that the underlying premise of this Gemara is that there was a problem of lying. If the problem of Sheker is limited to the courts and it only applies to judges, why did the Gemara have to come up with these three exceptional cases where you're allowed to lie? But the counter argument, and with this I'll leave you, is the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Vahani tlat mili avdi rabbanan dimishani. The word rabbanan means what? What does that word mean, rabbanan? No? Anybody? Chachamim, right? The Chachamim. So maybe he's talking about the Mida of Hilchas Deus of the Rambam, that a scholar has to be very, very careful, but even a scholar in these three scenarios is allowed to lie. But that's nothing to do with Midvar Sheker Tichon. The Gemara never really quotes Midvar Sheker Tichon. So once again, just to summarize, the only leg I have to stand on to take Midvar Sheker Tichok out of the confines of the courtroom is the Urim, based on the Gemara of Kesa Marad. Okay then? So we'll stop here. Shkirk, I know that you have Myra to go to. But thanks very much for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry.
They can't be. It's still the same for Urim, and we'll see. Maybe we'll get a chance to finish this up. I have a Maral in Prague that I'd love to do with you if you're interested in continuing. Otherwise, we can start a whole new topic.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Tamar, Mitamar? כן, סליחה שאני מפריע. שתי שאלות קטנות לגבי המכשיר הזה. קודם כל, איך אני מכניס את החלק הזה בפנים?
יש בצד, טיפה מעלה,
איפה
שהאחרת
של הרב, כן? בצד
הזה, פשוט
לשחוק עליו, ולשחוק עליו. אוקיי. והשנית, אני כבר עברתי את השיעור, איך אני סוגר את זה? כי משום מה, לחצתי כאן למעלה, ואחר כך על סטאפ, וזה לא סטאפ. אוקיי, אני אגיע עוד מעט, אבל עדיין המספרים הולכים. זאת אומרת, אני זוכר כשסגרנו את זה, אז קודם כל... אופס.